Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, why experienced directs need one-on-ones. The questions this cast answers are, should I let more experienced directs skip one-on-ones? Should I have one-on-ones less frequently with experienced directs? Do experienced directs need weekly one-on-ones?
Folks, if you're a manager, it's the middle of the year in 2021. Is your team or even part of your team staying remote? If they are, we can help. Our latest virtual training is Effective Remote Manager. Whether you have already been trained on the Trinity or not, remote is different. And so this training is designed to help your team fully execute the Trinity with the added difficulties of remote work. And we might know something about that. We've always been virtual. In fact, I've been virtual for the past 25 years. Contact Maggie on our staff, maggie@manager-tools.com.
Kate, lots of experienced directs. I mean, in my experience, I'm sure in your experience, and just in our experience answering questions, we find that lots and lots of experienced directs assume that when their manager is doing one-on-ones, they'll somehow be not needing to do a one-on-one with that manager. Because they're not like everybody else after all. I mean, they're different. And
fancy.
In our opinion, they're fancy, exactly. And in our opinion, they're wrong. And we've got a good reason for it. Today, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the fact that trust takes time and now is the time to build it. That your experience is really valuable to me and the team, which is something we want to make sure that those folks know. That we live our lives in weeks, and that weekly one-on-ones are what is supported by the data.
You know, it's interesting to me because I think a lot of the time when we're talking about processes, because a lot of us focus on processes at work especially, we think of the process of implementing one-on-ones as really focused on getting them in place and then getting proficient at them, as opposed to focusing on like the underlying principle. And I think we often also get the question about, why do I have to do them for 12 weeks before I start feedback? And the answer is really not because people need to learn how to do one-on-ones. One-on-ones are simple. It doesn't mean that they're always—
They're easy.
Yeah. There's like sometimes they're easy with some directs, maybe not so much as we're discussing here.
Yeah, exactly. With this particular direct, probably not so easy.
And that simplicity means that the 12 weeks that you're seeing there, you can remind yourself that that timeline of waiting to start feedback isn't about whether or not you're capable of this. It's about putting the time in to build trust. And that's because we know that trust takes time to build. And now is the time. You have to start now because there, you know, it would be, it's kind of like, I always think of like, it's like planting a tree.
Oh my gosh, I was just going to use that analogy.
Or buying a house. It's like the best time was always 10 years ago.
Yes.
So since we don't have that option and you can't go back, you have to start building that trust now. So if you're just taking over a team, you have to consider this component. And it's on top of the fact that beginnings are delicate times.
Yes, they are. Very much so.
Yeah. You and your team's learning curves are the steepest at the beginning of your relationship with them. And they know it. There's fear, there's consternation, there's concern. And the experienced direct who wants an exemption to one-on-ones, which we're assuming you're listening to the cast, you agree with us that one-on-ones are valuable, that they're going to get you more results and more retention. If you've said, team, we're going to do one-on-ones, and somebody says to you, not sure, you know, I don't want to, that experienced direct who wants the exemption is denying you, whether they'll say it out loud or not. And likely they're not going to say it out loud because they don't think of it this way. They're denying you an opportunity to build your most important asset, which is trust. And that's dangerous. You'll need that trust.
You will need that.
When there's tough times. And listen, tough times are going to come.
Tough times just came.
we just have exited them. Many of us, not everyone, has exited the tough times. pandemics, economic shutdowns.
Even just those busy times of the year or those really important projects. It doesn't have to be something as big as a worldwide shutdown, as easy as an example that is to pull off the top of my head right now. It can be as simple as that year-end closing.
Right.
That really important client. Those times when you need to want to leverage that trust, if your direct has prevented you from having those one-on-ones, has denied you that ability to build that trust, you haven't that relationship power going forward.
And even for me, I always think of like, I have a lot of friends who are in accounting. And so they always talk about month end. We have a lot of like, hey, do you guys want to go on a trip together? It's always like, as long as it's not at month end, right?
Uh-huh.
For me, I always think of month end as a very stressful, very tumultuous time in many people's, you know, cycles of work. And I think of it as a time where you're probably going to be comforted by the fact that you can think to yourself, you know what, I trust this person that their stuff's getting done. So the communication and trust you invest in now will allow you more comfort and I guess just peace of mind around,
yeah,
hey, that stuff is getting done over there because I trust that person.
Taken care of.
Yeah, you'll feel more like that.
At ease. Think.
Yeah, if you have that trust.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to start now.
Exactly. It is important to start now. So if you're just starting with a new team and you do experience some of that pushback from a more experienced direct, here's how you might answer that direct's pushback. I appreciate your position. More experienced folks often feel like they've earned the right to be managed last. And I think this is the most important thing I'm doing here at the start. I want to be able to spend time with everyone. I'm going to be learning a lot. I'm going to be making more mistakes than a more experienced manager might make. As well, when we go through those critical times, you and I will need to have that solid relationship. We need to start building now that relationship. We won't be able to do that when all heck is busting loose. And there's more. I owe you, more than anyone else here, a trusting relationship. I have to work harder to early earn your trust because of your experience. I have to be able to evaluate you at year end and do it fairly for you, for me, for the company, and even your family. And I can't do that to the best of my ability in a way which you deserve if I don't know enough to do it exceptionally well. And look, you might think you'll tell me what I need to know, but it's a two-way street. There's stuff I'll need to share with you. If communicating with you is inefficient because we don't get to know each other and don't spend any time together, the whole team will be affected by it. It's a small ask for a big return. Simple as that.
Yeah. And you can use this script, y'all. I mean, that's the idea here, that you can actually say these words.
Folks, the job market is heating up, as it always does, as it comes out of a difficult economic period. And that means many of you are going to be hiring. And that means you need to brush up on your hiring techniques and process. So we have a virtual effective hiring manager conference coming up on July 27th and 28th. We go through everything from how to screen resumes to how to create questions, to how to ask questions, to how to listen to answers, to how to probe, how to offer, how to decline, and how to onboard as well. And that's because that's what we would have wanted to know when we were hiring back so many years ago. So hope to see you there, July 27th and 28th, Virtual Effective Hiring Manager Conference.
Another point here that we might make to this direct who's pushing back is that their experience is really valuable to us as the manager and to the team as a whole. And if you've led your team for a while and you're just now starting one-on-ones, much of the stuff we've already covered still applies. Like, this all still applies. In situations like this, we're reminded of one part of the horseman middleman test. That which we would not visit upon our bosses, we should not accept from our directs.
Yes.
And I got to tell y'all, this resonates with me so much. I cannot imagine my boss yeah. saying to me, hey, Kate, I'd like to meet with you once a week for 30 minutes. And me saying, eh, not interested. So
I was like, I can't imagine.
I mean, you know, I've had some bosses that were better than others. And I can't imagine with any of them saying, no, I don't think I'll do that. And for me, and this is just my brain says, you're not that special. Yeah. Like, you're not special enough to be the person who gets to opt out. So I would feel really uncomfortable doing that. And I would also feel like that's not a lot for my boss to ask of me. So I guess ask yourself, could you ever imagine telling your boss who asked for this regular meeting with you, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm too special, too experienced, too cool, mm-hmm. too busy to meet with you. And I absolutely cannot imagine it. I just can't. I can't imagine doing that. So why would it be then okay for my directs to act as if what I'm asking them is any different? I don't think it is, right? I'm not asking for a lot. I'm also going to give up the time. It's not as if I'm asking you for something I wouldn't invest
in. We're both investing.
Right. We're both investing time. Further, I also have one-on-ones with my boss. So I'm doing the exact same thing. I just can't imagine that. And we know it happens, which is why we're talking about this. And if you haven't listened to the Middleman Test podcast, it's really good. It's really helpful in just asking yourself. It's kind of, you know, because we get a lot of questions like, is this normal? I think of it as, it's not the is this normal cast, although we do have some of those. It's the, like, is it acceptable cast, I feel. Right? Like, when people do stuff, it's like, whoa, is that acceptable?
You bring up a really good point, though, Kate. I think, and I mean, I'm sure you experience this when we're talking, when we're teaching our effective manager conferences, whether it's in person or virtually, oftentimes the group seems to have questions like, well, what if my more experienced directs don't want to do one-on-ones? And when you actually ask those managers, okay, well, has anyone said they don't want to do one-on-ones, for example? They're like, well, no, but I just know that's what they're going to say. That's kind of in relation to that middleman test. I think as managers, specifically in this case, we're talking about in this podcast a more experienced direct, a less experienced manager. No, as a manager, though, you might think to yourself in advance of the introduction of one-on-ones, well, my more experienced performers definitely aren't going to want to do this. First, run your middleman test and say, well, if it were me and I was really experienced, would I say no to my less experienced boss? And because you're listening to this, you're probably like, well, no, of course I would never say that.
Well, because I'd want to tell them all how awesome I am.
Exactly.
Like, that's how I would be like, wait, 30 minutes a week to tell you all the cool stuff I'm doing?
Right? Exactly. And then as managers, don't build it up in your head. I think sometimes we create these roadblocks for ourselves. And we just assume, they're going to push back, so we hesitate, and we won't pull the trigger, we won't action things. We're like, oh, they're going to push back, this is going to be the worst, it's going to be terrible, they're going to say no. Just do it. Assume positive intent. That's a podcast that you might want to have a listen to. Assume that they all want to help you learn and want to build trust with you. Until you have a verbal acknowledgement, that is, until they specifically say, I am not interested in doing one-on-ones with you, boss. Assume that they all want them, because they actually probably do.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So we talked about one thing to say. Here's another version or something else to say about your direct's experience and its value.
Yes, specifically.
There's an extra reason why I need time with you and your experience every week. My time with you is going to be more valuable than my time with some of the other folks. You know more. You've seen more. You're more confident about what you're doing and what you're seeing. You're going to be the best at seeing things that I am doing right and wrong, and I need to hear that. My time with you also sends a message to others on the team. This is valuable time, even if it's literally just 1% of your week. If you resist, and we end up running a gun battle about this, it affects everybody on the team. Your experience makes you more of an example setter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Very good. Again, guys, remembering that if you're a licensee, you have these scripts. But for those of you listening, it wouldn't surprise me if some of you were out there thinking, well, maybe this Experience Direct isn't an example setter. Now, I understand what you're saying. I do understand that that is a legitimate concern. That said, we start with the thought that the more Experience Direct is more valuable. They have more of that organizational knowledge. They know more people within the organization. They have the ability, whether or not they use it, to get more done than less experienced people. Now, of course, that's not necessarily the case. Maybe this individual might be, let's say, close to retirement, or they're not a top performer, or they're just not as flexible with change as other people might be. Mm-hmm. But we can certainly try and, to Kate's script a moment earlier, be gracious with them, right? Express to them that we want them to be an example setter, whether or not we feel in our brains like they actually are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, too, there's a little bit of us acknowledging that even if they're not a top performer, other people look to them for an example of, you know, what's going on because of their experience in the organization.
Absolutely.
And even having said all that, don't be afraid, even if they're not a star, to start with these polite approaches.
Yeah.
Always know that you can also just insist.
You can.
Mm-hmm. If you'd rather not do this all at once, that's okay. Do your best with the approaches recommended here, at which you can phase out, and then end the discussion with something like, doesn't sound like we're agreeing yet. That's okay. Why don't you think a bit on what we talked about and we can talk again tomorrow or the day after. I'll reach out if I haven't spoken to you, not via email, in 48 hours to continue the conversation. And if this person comes back, again, don't accept an email.
Right? Yeah.
If they send you an, because that's like a, it's a preference thing. Another way of like exerting preference over effectiveness. And listen, your preferences are great, but you have to ask yourself if your preferences are effective. And then sometimes people say, well, they're efficient. Well, let's not confuse the two.
Well, that's not the same.
Yeah, I love efficiency. I just don't want to sacrifice effectiveness for it.
Exactly.
So when they come back in, you know, we talk to them. We say, hey, listen, here's some more stuff to say, but I just want to make one note before we tell you what to say. If they send you an email, respond with a meeting request. Mm-hmm. Send back a meeting request. And then the meeting sounds like this after you tell, if they say, oh, I haven't changed my mind, boss, the meeting sounds like this. I appreciate what you're telling me, and I'm not going to agree to what you're suggesting. I'm going to do weekly one-on-ones with everybody every week, including you. You and I both know that 30 minutes once a week around 1% of your calendar is a very small ask. I believe it'll be worth it. I know this is probably not how you thought this meeting might go, and I'll expect your best efforts at making our time together effective.
Exactly. It's just that easy.
Insisting, just really politely.
Exactly. And again, we give you the previous scripts because we know many aren't comfortable insisting. But again, you're the manager. You could have insisted from the beginning. You could have. Now, we would suggest that you don't. We would suggest you instead try to build that influence with them, right? But when push comes to shove, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And again, don't forget about the point Kate made a moment earlier about verbalizing this communication versus using email. Now, even though if you yourself prefer email, we'd not recommend you get into an email exchange with this dissenter after telling them what you're planning on doing. It's okay if they want to think about it. It's okay if they want to compose and think about their thoughts. Now, we'd suggest it's not overly productive of them, since you've already told them that a decision has been made. But they're more than welcome to gather their thoughts and think about how they feel about this situation. But don't think that you have to engage with them on what they've chosen or how they feel about it. It won't help you build trust to engage in email fencing with someone who's against your plan. Make some notes for what you're going to say to them, either verbally in your first one-on-one or maybe in a small meeting that the two of you have before that time. But we would highly recommend you do this verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to Kate's point, it's going to take more time. And it's worth the effort. Sometimes I find, it's easy in all organizations. It doesn't even have to be your direct. It can be really easy to hide behind email and draw out a conversation over a number of weeks because you'll probably forget to follow up on it.
My biggest thing about email with this is it's basically like, I disagree. I don't. I agree. I don't. It's like, it's basically like I'm your rubber, you're glue, but via email.
Right.
It's like sending notes back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, is this third grade? I cannot imagine.
Put an end to it. Pop by their desk. Have a verbal conversation. The end.
But not the end to our podcast. We still want to talk about.
No, not the end to the podcast.
The fact that we live our lives in weeks.
Mm-hmm. We do.
100%. Let's face it. Work weeks are how our lives are scheduled. Work weeks are the rhythm of professional life. Work that's assigned to us that's due next week, except maybe on Fridays, is almost immediately put aside in favor of existing deadlines and deliverables for this week. Look, important projects have weekly meetings. Agile, which is the best management innovation of the past quarter century, relies on weekly sprints and, gosh, even daily Scrum meetings.
Yeah.
To schedule something less frequently than weekly, which is designed to address one of our most important levers, trust and communication, makes no sense.
At all.
I mean, I don't even know if half of the people, if we ask somebody, hey, what's on your calendar next week? They don't know. Probably even now on
this
Thursday.
This week's not none.
People only know what's on their calendar between now and Sunday. Now, y'all are hearing this on a Monday, maybe.
Yes.
You could be hearing it at any time. It's coming out on a Monday. But mm-hmm. I think even on Thursday, you only know what's on your calendar until Sunday.
Yeah. And we know this. We know that work weeks and hence weekly one-on-ones is what promotes this meeting to the level of urgency. But that doesn't mean that sometimes experienced directs don't, instead of just outright saying, no, I don't want to do one-on-ones, instead suggest that we do them instead every second week or just once a month because they're more experienced and they don't think that they need the weekly mm-hmm. one-on-one. So if that's the case, if they're suggesting a stretched out or a more infrequent timeline, you might respond this way. Listen, weekly is how we all think of our work. We focus on our deliverables of this week. We tend to put off a little while work that's due next week until we get this week's tasks done. We have weekly meetings on stuff that's important. If we were even doing one-on-ones every other week, stuff that was relevant last week probably wouldn't be discussed. That means it's less than half as useful. And by the way, you should know that's borne by the data. Bi-weekly one-on-ones are only 40% as effective as weekly one-on-ones, even while we're talking 50% of the time. Now that's inefficiency. And monthly would be just crazy if we're thinking about the quality and quantity of our individual communications and relationships. And maybe you don't think relationships are that important. I can understand that, but I do. I think relationships matter, and I'll tell you why. Relationships are all about trust, and I want to be able to trust my boss. Trust comes from us talking to others about what's important to them. And weeks are important to us, and trust is important to me.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Further, just since we're down this path, weekly is what the data supports.
Yeah.
Every time we've tested one-on-ones, scheduled weekly, MTO3s outperform every other implementation. unscheduled, biweekly, ad hoc, monthly. We tested all these different flavors. And no matter what the country, industry, structure, size, or form of the organization, or even level of manager, managers who conduct scheduled weekly MTO3s outperform managers doing any other type of one-on-one. And by the way, we measure performance the way organizations do, by results and retention. So if somebody says to you, hey, I want to do a different frequency than weekly, here's what you say. Here's another way to say another. Here's another script for that. We say, it's a fair question, which, by the way, is a really good way to de-escalate when there's conflict.
Classic underreaction.
Weekly one-on-ones will take up to 4 times as much time as, say, monthly will take. But here's the thing. There's a lot of data to support weekly. When weekly one-on-ones have been tested against biweekly and monthly and ad hoc, weekly one-on-ones outperform all the others every time in every industry, every company size, on every continent, in every type of organization. And for every level of manager in controlled studies, weekly one-on-ones led to greater improvements in results and retention. And we're talking big studies, thousands of managers at a time. If you want the details about the data, I'll share it with you. And of course, you guys can share with your directs the show notes about the data on MTO3s if you're a licensee, which again, if you want show notes and if you want executive tools, which is our new podcast, which I just found out and didn't know until today, comes out on Wednesdays. So now we have three podcasts, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday for all three streams. So license access to executive tools. And if you're here and you're listening to us and what you're sad about is you want to listen to Mark and Mike, that's where to find them, is the executive tools.
That's your answer.
Yeah.
Mark and Mike are on executive tools.
There you go.
All right. So to wrap it all up, guys, even experienced directs need one-on-ones. An experienced direct suggesting that they don't need or want a one-on-one is a mistaken power play. The professional experienced direct will want to support their new manager. They won't want to have exceptions made specifically for them. They'll want to set the example for the other people on the team who are less experienced. A professional knows that their manager asking for half an hour a week is not an issue worth drawing a line in the sand over. So expect them to go along. And if they don't, insist that they do. It's the right thing to do for them, for you, for their colleagues, and for your organization.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.
That's all this week, y'all. Thanks so much, and we'll see you back here next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.